Omone hijemo shiri nawa. I have no idea what that means, but I've been listening to that ad like I listen to it like 1,000 times every day.
Yeah, 1,000 times every day would be that's long.
One very easy way to start a show.
1,000 times a day.
One heck of a transition from good afternoon and welcome to Homerun to Shijemo Shiri Nawa. Welcome to Homerun. Good afternoon, wherever you find yourself, wherever you're tuned in. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for choosing Homerun. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM this time of the day. Joining you as always this time of the day is Helmut and Dwight on Homerun. And as always, we have just another, another topic that will not disappoint in terms of ruining how your day went. Assuming that your day went very terribly, just fasten a seatbelt. We're about to make it worse, as always.
You never
disappoint in that department.
You don't need seatbelts. You need handlebars.
You
just make me to make sure you're not flying.
Actually, you need both seatbelts and handlebars.
Yeah. Well, it's on this particular drive time session, dear listeners. Obviously, wherever you find yourself, and we are hoping that you're obviously listening to us.
Yeah.
If you're not, we will find you. Don't worry. Mm. Yeah.
And don't worry, we're not going full, Liam Neeson on you. We'll just, find you and ask you nicely to tune in.
And properly educate you to tune in regularly.
We'll not use our, particular set of skills acquired over a very long career.
Yeah, and we do very dodgy things. No, we won't do that.
No.
But our discussion, as Helmut did point out, is one that ultimately you will need handlebars and say safety belts and seat belts for.
Mm-hmm.
And the script that I prepared for Helmut and I actually is titled "The Problem of Being Sold To." It's not the problem of selling; it's the problem technically of continuously buying. Case in point, Helmut, before you start with our first case study, which is our story time that helps us set the scene for today's discussion.
Yeah.
Because I've got one and two in the background, middle and at the end for us. Our discussion is actually is an explainer or a motivator for what Donald Trump has been trying to do since 20 January. But the whole world is now so fixated on the aspect of tariffs, no one is really looking at in terms of what the American capitalists had created, a term known as offshoring.
Now, that's the part you left. Start by defining that.
Offshoring. So offshore.
Because now I'm thinking, offshore.
Yeah, like an offshore. Yeah, offshore tax havens. Yes,
yeah.
You are also correct in that thinking. The thing with offshoring is that offshoring is a term widely used when I looked up why do Asians manufacture for other developing markets?
Yeah.
Or why do the Asian economies manufacture for the other developing markets? Now, who are the other developing markets? South America, us, the rest of Oceania, the rest of the Pacific region, and then they manufacture, obviously their biggest clients are Europe and North America, and themselves as well. Offshoring has to do with literally what Trump has been calling the problematic scenario in terms of, his favorite term was, the world is taking us for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
That was his particular accusation, which
that,
is an accusation.
We're just consuming.
Yeah. Or we're just buying what they're making.
Yeah.
And that has been his philosophy. There's nothing wrong with that philosophy because he is correct. However.
Oh yeah, he is in terms of consumption.
Yeah, in terms of consumption and just importing.
Yeah.
However, what many people have indicated now in the past 2 months after China got the highest batch of the tariffs was that it was not China that invited the American businesses.
Nope.
It was not China. It was the American businesses that sought and went like, you know what? I need to keep this product affordable and I have to still be selling to my own consumer market.
Yeah.
So I will try and access other particular markets to produce at a lower rate, just in monetary value, to produce at a lower rate than producing in a US dollar rate.
Because that's
that's going to count against me.
Yeah, because you will have to take whatever high rate you are producing that product at and then add it, you know, factor it in the price that you are selling the product at.
Exactly.
And then the question of affordability becomes very a very giant one.
Now, with that small anecdote, pre-anecdote to your anecdote, meaning pre-case study to your case study, Helmut, yeah. It sets the scene, dear listeners, that you shouldn't think that what Donald Trump is doing is wrong, like many people are reacting. It's just how he's going about it, and the people that he employed are actually at fault here, because they're now making it sound like we are the bad guys. For example, us and Lesotho, like us and Lesotho.
Poor Lesotho.
Lesotho was number three after Vietnam and Laos, or Vietnam and Cambodia, in terms of the tariffs that they faced after the tariffs were then went and paused or frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But Lesotho was still getting higher. And the argument that I made yesterday was that Trump was saying, yeah, but we are importing too much of Lesotho's diamonds, but Lesotho cannot afford to import your
aircraft carrier.
US made aircraft carrier. US
for one, it's a landlocked country.
Cars. But it can't. It cannot. Hence the reason why that country is part of SACU. Lesotho is at a worse position than us and Botswana. Lesotho and Eswatini, they're in a worse position than us and Botswana. So the moment Lesotho just sees a tariff scare, then it really hits them. But here's the thing.
Mm.
It's not Lesotho paying the tariff. It's whoever is importing the Lesotho product into the US economy. They're going to pay that tariff.
Yep.
So, Helmut, I now give the actual introduction over to you to help set us the scene.
Well, thank you. Since today's discussion is about not Namibia, the African continent, this one is on the African continent.
Oh, no, that will be mudslinging. That'll be my case study.
In
Namibia.
I'll leave Namibia to you.
Yeah.
I want us to put a pause on, I want us to, to take our eyes off the African continent and shift it all the way to the EU.
Yeah.
And then we will really understand why, why an economic bloc like that is, is a very important decision. Take the EU's, demand. For example, more like ultimatum, you can just call it that they gave Apple to bring back the C-type charging port and charger. That decision came from the EU, not Luxembourg. Now, imagine that decision coming from, that ultimatum coming from the, coming from Luxembourg. Luxembourg telling Apple that you'll have to bring the C-type, or more like fall in line in terms of charging, charging cable and charging port, or basically charging mechanism for your devices, like everyone.
Mm.
Come to the C-type, or we're gonna kick you out of our market. Do you think Apple would have listened to that? Coming from Luxembourg? First of all, they only have 672,000 people.
Luxembourg.
Uh-huh.
How do you know how big Luxembourg is?
Now, the point I'm trying to make here is
Luxembourg is as big as Windhoek, not even Thomas. Where did they get 600,000 people? It's a farm.
According to them, they have 600,000 people, and Malta, something I didn't know, 563,000 people. And now, all these are members of the EU. And you have Slovenia with 2 million, with 2 million people, with a little over 2 million people. Lithuania with almost 2.8 or 2, just make it 2.9 people. Croatia with 3.8 million people. Or 3.9. But, all these are countries that makes up what we know today as the EU.
Yeah.
Now, these guys have a lot of bargaining power. Because, first of all, they are a very huge market of half a billion people.
Mm.
So, no business individual, country, or private, or just a multinational entity will want to lose a market of that size. One of the reasons why they have such a, one of the, I think one of the very strongest negotiating power is because of what? Their size. Now, why did TikTok spend a very, a great deal of time in the UK, in the US, negotiating with US Congress over the, over their dispute with the, basically with the, with the American government? It's because the US is what, like, over 200,000 people, 200 million people? It's a very huge market, and no one wanna lose a market like that.
No, the US is
300 something million.
50. Okay, if you now minus all the supposed illegal aliens.
Don't start. Which is why I went for the conservative number of 2 million. Yeah, of 200 million people.
Sorry, Vasanu. But I gave you that number, Helmut, because that's the number, that 350 million that,
well, to be fair, there are also consumers in there.
Yeah, but it exists on official platforms.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The reason why I'm pointing that out is because, one of the biggest idea that have ever come out of the African continent in terms of economic prioritization is that of the Africa Free Trade Agreements.
Mm.
Because Africa, individual countries, we are very fragmented. As individual countries, we don't stand alone. Okay, some countries like Nigeria and South Africa, they have for most of them, just population wise alone, they have just in terms of population alone, they have a very strong bargaining power, and then throw in their economic prowess, technological advancement. One thing that you see there is big countries just by landmass and population will always stand. A chance in terms of bargaining power and negotiations. And we saw the same thing was that Indonesia or Malaysia, I'm always mixing those two. The dispute I'm not sure if they still have it with Apple that was with regards to the iPhone 16. Because Apple was told you will have to source some of the parts locally. Otherwise we're gonna kick you, language they used was that, or you will not sell that specific model in our market. They negotiated from $100 million, I think, from $100 million, last time I checked, but.
No, it was supposed to be that 100. They should have invested the whole 100, but they'd only invested so far like 71 million. In that Indonesian discussion of last year that you and I had.
What's Indonesia's population?
260.
Exactly. You see, the bottom line is, it's not the sole negotiating power in terms of economic discourse with a lot of multinational companies or just the countries as a whole, but population also plays a significant role.
Yeah. But here's the thing about that population.
Yeah.
Remember what was the second part of that investment? That at least 60% of the inputs for that iPhone should come from the Indonesian economy.
Yeah.
So that meant local beneficiation and local content policy. That those were the applications.
Yeah.
Nowhere, Helmut, does it speak of youth unemployment, employment creation, XYZ, which are the subjects that are the labels used in Africa. But no one is saying how do you eliminate it?
Yeah. Now, look, when you look at it, I really applaud, and by the way, the US, same WhatsApp group. The US is just a continent that they turned into a country.
Yeah. They slashed it in half. Canada has the other half. They have the bottom half.
Uh-huh.
And they just went like, yeah, now we're a country.
Now we're just a country. But, they are a very huge market. Anyone would dance to have access to that market, which is what we did, our small portion of meat supply that we were allowed to supply them.
Yeah.
Now, then, and then you look at Africa now. First of all, we have a lot of, tension between ourselves, and that's nothing new. You also find a lot of disagreements between EU member states. If you have seen, just look at how many, EU member states, don't like the Hungarian prime minister, then you'll understand that tensions between countries is nothing new. It's not something that you find in Africa. It's just that, M23. That raises a lot of questions. But
How does M23 feature in the EU?
Well, the EU member states may disagree, but they don't M23 each other every now and then.
No. Well, there was.
Yeah, they were.
Actually,
they have a history. Austrian painter, blah, blah, blah. But the
No, not even that. Very recently, there was the guys from Spain. They were known as the Basque separatists.
Yeah.
Separatists. So Basques are like, you know, they're like a European indigenous group. You only find them in northern Spain, southern France. They're on the Pyrenees mountain range, because you find them in France's side and you find them in Spain's side. Mm-hmm. And they are different from the Catalans. The Catalans are also a different Spanish particular group. The unfortunate thing is that the Catalans tried to have like a formal process of cessation away from Spain.
Yeah.
The Basques, however, were running a complete terrorist campaign against the Spanish government.
Oh dear.
Thus, they were labeled as terrorists. There were a whole bunch of them. So, before you label M23 as being sort of like a novelty helmet, the Europeans were doing these things, and the South Americans, before we Africans realized, oh, we can do this as well.
Hang on a second. You can bomb them.
Using rebel groups in their country.
Yeah, let's not do that. Now, I think if you look at Africa's 1.something billion people, we are a huge market, and they just like the video of that Chinese guy that you forwarded me, the one who was doing the whole research that gave us the eureka moment in terms of South Africa, not South Africa, Africa, Africa's reliance on buying and not coming up with innovative ideas to produce something locally. Because if someone is selling us something, clearly we are a market. The question then comes, why are we not exploiting that market ourselves?
Yeah. Should I answer it?
Please do.
Okay. So, Helmut, dear listeners, if you don't know the anecdote that Helmut and I are also referencing in this, which Helmut just referenced now.
Yeah.
So it comes about that I shared this video just to let the people know. It's the second time I've watched it, but this video I found last year on YouTube about a little known. Well, it's not little. I mean, it's pretty
big. It's a little known in China.
Yeah,
where it's from.
It's little known in China. Yeah. No, but these are the devices it's made.
Yeah.
So what this journalist did, this Chinese journalist that speaks English, he went onto the streets there in China, and he asked them, do you recognize this phone brand? And all the Chinese consumers were like, no, we don't know.
What's that?
Have you ever seen it before? No, we haven't seen it before. Have you used it? No, we don't know it. Comes out, and it's the second time I've made mention of this company. The phone name is Tecno. Some of you would have seen it. Some of you are using it. Some of you are buying it. But this product was made by a little-known Chinese company known as Transsion.
Yeah.
So it's the word tran or trans with its S. And you add another S and
it has nothing to do with LGBTQ.
Yes, that too.
Thank you.
And you spell it, it's double S-I-O-N.
Yeah.
Transsion or Transsion. As the guy obviously
pronounced it.
Yeah. This product, all these products, and I see the other phone brand also in some shops here in Namibia, Infinix Mobile.
Yeah.
All three of them, Itel, Infinix, and Tecno, are made by this Transsion company. I thought Itel was from a mobile operator from the Middle East. It was a product that they introduced in the Middle East, Helmut, that then found its way into Central and West Africa, and then it came into Southern Africa. The Infinix, I also started seeing floating around somewhere here and there. I just didn't trust the designs. You know, when you start seeing things that look like they are three generations old, the product, you go like, nah, man. You know, I know what the latest thing looks like, so I'll stick to the current generation of technology. Mm-hmm. And then they brought in the Tecno brand. The Tecno brand, and I kid you not, dear listeners, this brand was developed specifically based upon the camera technology. Why? Well, because the company realized that Africans have a problem with taking photos at night. I'm not making this up. It's literally in the expose. Helmut is trying to contain himself from laughing. It's literally in the expose.
Look, there are two ladies the guy spoke to. They were like, they were describing why they liked the phone. That, you know, the camera was designed with a darker skin tone in mind.
Yeah, but that just means, and there's one thing that the Chinese manufacturers, mobile manufacturers are using, is AI camera technology.
Yeah.
So besides just investing a lot of research and development in the lenses, the apertures and the camera technologies and the chips, the Chinese realized from what the Koreans were doing in Samsung, invest in a program that leverages the hardware.
Yeah.
Which is the AI camera technology. Now you start seeing everyone is running around like they were running around with Huawei.
Yeah.
Now everyone is running around with the other brand, Xiaomi. Because Xiaomi is doing the same thing that Huawei was bringing in. And then the Koreans are realizing, oh my goodness, we're not just competing against Apple this side, we're also competing against the Chinese manufacturers.
Our Eastern competitors.
Yeah, the Chinese manufacturers that are just on the other side of North Korea. Yeah, there's like a gray zone between them and China.
I know.
And then you get... But that's it. And it's like you said, those two ladies were going like, you know what? The photos really come out well. And they were speaking to two African ladies. I think they were Kenyan because they could speak English.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. But in that scenario, just look at that. The Chinese realized, utilize software to make the hardware operate better. That was our John Deere discussion, remember?
Yeah.
The right to repair.
Uh-huh.
It was literally that.
Now, you know there's no easy way to say this, so I'll just go on a cooking campaign.
Yeah.
Africa, back in 2019, there was this huge celebration about, you know, Africa have made its, have made its first smartphone. Audi. And I was like, that's where the document of Made in Africa Rules of Origin that, coming out of the African Union that I just shared with you.
Mm.
And, for all the organizations, so basically, since I was introduced by Richard Wolff to the structure of, mostly private entities, how they operate, Basically, an entity, a commercial entity, how it's structured in terms of, how it's structured in terms of power.
Mm.
The power structure in any commercial entity, especially if it's using the Western model, I don't know if there is a different one, was you have shareholders, board of directors, shareholders can also, be on the board of directors of their entities. And then you have, you have executives, you have managers, and you have your employees. And everyone, everyone at the bottom. Now, I like to find out who are the shareholders? Who are the founders? Now, the Marathon X and Z made, a Z if you're American or a Z if you are, you want to go the British way.
Mm.
It was made in it was made in Rwanda back in, and it came out back in 2019. The thing about the Marathon was that, it's the reason why it generated a lot of traction is because the founder, last time I checked, his citizenship is still British and also a member of the World Economic Forum's, young leadership programs.
Yeah.
So, obviously, this guy knows a lot of guys in the right places.
Yeah.
And, he's also a founder of an entity known as the Mara Group. Now, the Mara Group I'm not sure if it's safe to call it a subsidiary, is that Mara Phone Manufacturing Branch. Now, this is a phone, it turns out that was also sold in South Africa. Now, something I keep asking myself is, why wasn't it sold in Namibia? Because I've never seen one, at least I have never seen one in a shop, or I've never seen anyone use one.
Mm.
Now, one of the reasons why it generated a lot of traction is that it's one, it's the only smartphone that have been made with mostly, not all, mostly parts made on the African continent. Mostly parts, because, you know, most parts of the motherboard were made, you know, were put together in Rwanda.
Mm.
Just the fancy parts that are too difficult to manufacture, you know, due to the lack of technology, like the chips, for example.
Yeah.
Those ones, obviously, you're getting them mostly from Taiwan. When I'm going through this, the first question I'm asking myself is, why have I seen Techno and Infinix, but I have not seen the Marathon? Until I went through the video, then my question was answered there. That first of all, we had to do a research.
I used to buy in data hoping it will last, then switch to Prioritas. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Prioritas mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always prepare,
Paratus. Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
A minute.
That's walking around holding on to a mara.
No, look, that guy just further ruined my day. Now off microphone conversation of one South African guy that was holding the marathon and going around. Look, sort of like pointing out the flaws of the device. And the first thing he said the first problem with this device is a name. You know, I'm not walking around telling everyone that what phone do you use, dude? What phone do you use, bro? I use a Mara. Like, wait, what?
I use a Mara. And it just doesn't sit right.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't. I mean, even when people were struggling with Huawei's name, they at least went like, it's a Huawei. Some of them would just go, that thing, man. Right?
Well, forget Hua. Most of the people I know just went with Huawei.
Yeah, they went Huawei. Yeah, that's the other thing some of them said.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, the name Helmut should be easy to say. Well, Mara is easy to say, but to say I'm working with a Mara, I bought a Mara, it just sounds so comical.
I can't wait for a European, especially let me just say British and American, English speaking, Eastern countries, Western countries, to pronounce that name. Can you imagine an American?
It's a Mara. I'm walking around with a Mara.
What's that? So then I was like, okay, so well, since we are, you know, I went through different articles.
Mm.
Rwanda opens first entirely homemade smartphone factory in Africa. That one is coming from CNN. From CNN, and this was in October of 2019, and then I also came across one, Mara. Now this one is on Digital Trend. This is a tech savvy guys. It's US based. Mara X and Mara Z smartphones are built almost entirely in Rwanda. That's the part that caught my attention. Like, yeah. What do you mean almost? Then they went in detail to basically point that not all the parts, which I'm not surprised because, yeah. Well, cheap make, if you know, then that would have meant that they also built a chip in Rwanda.
Yeah.
Now that I would pay money to go and see.
Or it was probably just designed somewhere else. And then the chip was, you know, the chip gets made there specifically for them. And then it just comes in. Yeah.
Well, what operating system was it running? No surprises there. Android Oreo.
Yeah.
Now this one is from the World Economic Forum that, Rwanda pioneers first made in Africa smartphone. Okay. See, it was most of the parts were made in Africa.
Mm.
At least that's according to all the sources I was able to run into.
Yeah.
But the ownership is questionable. Yo. Looking at a bunch of guys that, okay, now, where's that? Mara is a group, this Mara smartphone was made by, you know, Mara the group. By the way, that's not hardly, you know, that's not unheard of. In the, you know, in capitalism, Samsung itself is part of a bigger parent company known as Samsung Electronics. Those are the guys that make your, you know, Samsung fridges, Samsung washing machines, Samsung television, Samsung. And then one of the many branches is the Samsung smartphone. So smartphones, by the way, they also make, you know, artillery shells.
That's Hyundai. Hyundai makes a tank. They make a tank for the Korean army. Hardware.
Yeah.
No, I saw that thing. I was like, a Hyundai tank. Just imagine that.
Samsung also makes tanks.
But then I remember it's literally what Mercedes-Benz used to do. Mercedes-Benz used to make German army military cars and tanks.
Yeah, but that's what happens when your country is at war. Everything is going to be repurposed by the government.
No, but that's what happens when your country has a functioning military budget that invests in and sources from the economy.
Yep.
I mean, we can solve industrialization in Namibia, Hamad. Yeah. But the thing is just, would you trust the Minister of Defense getting a budget, an ugly budget?
A gun made in Ogahawa, not a chance.
Or a tank made in Ogarara, you know, with horns and all that.
That was Dwight. That's one heck of a tank. Looks like it's about to say, Mwashi. Now, I've got to stop this. It's not 9 o'clock in the morning.
You just had to add that last one in there. Anyway, yeah.
I have a very huge Herero friend who is going to lift me up after this and punch me. Punch me in the face. I looked at it and found that the Mara, you know, the Maraphone was made by, you know, was made under the umbrella of, you know, the bigger company called it a parent company known as a Mara Group, which is a private limited company founded in 1996 by Ashish J. Takar. I'll let you guess, you know, the ethnicity. But that has nothing to do with it. The economy is what we are worried about here.
Yeah.
Now, its headquarter, that's what I was, that's when I went like, hang on a second. The headquarter is in the UAE.
Yeah. And you mentioned something prior to that as well, that, just look at his group. Look, the group obviously shows that he's trying to diversify things.
Yeah, it's a conglomerate, yeah.
Yeah. But it also shows you in terms of the attention that can be focused on a technology product.
Yeah.
Samsung has had 20 years, 30 years to build itself up. Before that, you had the Japanese, JVC. You had Sony. Alongside the Japanese, you had the Europeans. You had Telefunken. You had Blaupunkt. You had Philips. Because everyone, there's a nice little case study about how did Philips become one of Europe's most steadfast or Europe's most stable technology companies and appliance-making companies in Europe. Wow, what happened to the presence of Philips?
Mm-hmm.
You had, who was the other technology? Hewlett Packard from the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. You had, Dell also from the United Kingdom. You had, Who is the other one? There's another one that I'm thinking about. But all these particular technology companies, obviously, they are now, they had their heyday.
Uh-huh.
Now there are other guys here at the forefront.
Yeah, rise and fall.
Exactly.
And I remember BlackBerry, those were the days.
Which is now bought by a Chinese company. Nokia, yeah. Bought by a Chinese company as well. BlackBerry's guy, it's also a mobile phone manufacturer.
So now I understand they're only into security.
Well, BlackBerry is the holding company of BlackBerry, the old one.
Yeah.
They are more like, they were like Nokia. They are in telecommunications more. Services. Yeah. They have a big business arm. And then they decided to make this consumer retail arm.
That's Sony.
No, no. That's what Nokia did. Nokia is in telecoms in Finland.
Yeah.
And then Nokia established this mobile phone division.
Yeah.
With its patents and its copyrights and all that. And then they started making most the Everready, the durable Nokias that everyone loved.
3310.
And then BlackBerry had the same model. They were a large technology ICT company and they had the small consumer retail department that made these devices. Now, what I'm showing to you there is literally if any corporate in Namibia, the large ones, even if it's a financial sector corporate, if they just, you know, purposefully, strategically place resources to pursue a particular consumer manufacturing perspective or, you know, a goal thereof, it does take patience and it does mean that they've literally got to apply resources to generate market share and market value.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you today, Helmut, market share and market value in Namibia, in the mobile phone segment of Namibia, is completely foreign owned.
Yeah.
You are sitting with two Samsung devices
Not just Namibia.
I'm sitting with a Samsung device on me. There's two colleagues out here. I know Hende sits with an iPhone, American.
Two colleagues. Oh, no, they left here.
Yeah. They're
also sitting with the same product, American.
American as well. So now you got to ask yourself the question. Now, if an African, if a Namibian wants to make such a highly sophisticated retail product, what is going to be the endeavor? And I'll kid you not, Helmut. This is where my case study at this
now
time
comes
in. So last night, in preparation for this discussion for today, my sister comes and tells me something and she says, Dwight, now something happened because she follows, she's on international forums for the particular MSME that she is. And she comes in, she says, Dwight, this particular engagement regarding this industry that she says, because I won't tell people what industry she's in, I won't. But she came in.
So she's most likely going to murder you.
Yeah. She came in, she said, Dwight, they just recently cancelled a event that was supposed to take place later in this month of May, like the 17th or something, in Australia, for this particular sector.
Mm.
And then I gave her possible explainers, because she asked, what could this mean? And I gave her possible explainers as to what this could imply. Either no one wanted to buy the tickets to attend, or no one could fly there, or that everything was probably out of reach in terms of costs, meaning it was expensive to attend. And this was supposedly for a global attendance in this particular sector.
Yeah.
And then the next thing comes along and she says, but, you know, why does it look so difficult in the Namibian context? And I explained something to her that I came to realize even when I was, you know, fantasizing about how I could become a millionaire on the yellow benches of NUST. And that was like 2008, 2005 already, Hamoud, that I was running around with that fantasy just to avoid, you know, either the complete boredom that I was sometimes experiencing there on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I explained something to her and I said, there's one thing that you will find in South Africa even, and you will find it even in Kenya, and you will find it even in China, and you will even find it in Japan even. Helmut, there's so much money in those economies that I just mentioned. Why can, our example yesterday was Harlan Sanders. Harlan Sanders' wife took the house in the divorce.
Uh-huh.
Harlan Sanders was, when his wife was busy divorcing him, he was fired from a job.
His wife, about having a bad day.
His wife took the kids as well. And the homeboy was a pensioner. He was close to his 60s. He was 50-something. It's close to his 60s. And all he had was a recipe from his mother that his mother entrusted to him. A recipe for making fried chicken. I'm not promoting
a quick question.
This particular
did he share that recipe with his wife, or it was one of those, safety deposit box type of...
Sort of like family heirloom family, stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, Elwood. But the thing is, it hits me till this day how this guy just had a recipe. He just made something. He got a loan to open up a distribution place, and he started a franchise.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Olio mnangeshefa nohara kushivifa oma akuro ya kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuru olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe nohamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konorahita tu natu. Bali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. It's 17 minutes past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Before the commercial break caught us off guard, where were you?
So, the particular point that I highlighted to my sister was, she just has to look at all these other particular economies. And Namibia is not like the rest of Africa as well. But the problem here is, Helmut, there's not enough money floating around in Namibia. So what am I talking about? I'm now going to bring in the known facts from our labor force and census reports.
Survey, yeah. Oof.
There are only 500,000 people out of 3 million that have salaries. How are you going to access those particular salaried persons? And we also realized specifically, if Namibia has to or wants to get into the manufacturing space of things, 14 to 20,000 skilled people that were trained at a VTC to work in a factory, is not going to cut it. And remember, those are people that could have been trained as a bricklayer or as a mechanic or as an electrician or as a this or as a that. It's not going to cut it because you need actually 50 to 100,000 of those people because there's only 200,000 people that are actually in total educated that went to university or to a tertiary outlet like a VTC and so on. So we need more of these people. And having 3 million here, 500,000 working, now what is the other 2.5 million people? That means they don't have money on them.
Yeah, it's either they're in school or it's either they're
unemployed or it's either that they are too old or too young.
Yeah.
That's our problems. That's why there's not enough money flowing in this Namibian economy. That is also why, like, one of the things that factors into our discussions of yesterday and Monday, politicians actually need to stop saying that they will create jobs. Because the automatic question I will have is, how will you create the job?
And then I will come in, and you put a comma there, then yeah. I come in with, when we are shipping all the material that's supposed to create the jobs outside the continent.
Yeah.
Not forget the country, the continent, because this is an African problem.
And then an extra add-on after your question
let's put a comma there.
Why are you asking for collateral for if you want entrepreneurs to start making products and stuff, and you are telling entrepreneurs, go and appoint Namibians. A business, Helmut, that's the thing. Why do you and Chicken have that particular endeavor? You don't hire 50 people.
No.
It's based upon a needs-based purpose.
Yeah.
And you guys are trying to contain costs.
The cost, yeah.
Exactly. Now, why do politicians show up and tell businesses, hire more people? Yeah, but I need to sell more, I need to sell more tomato beans. Or I need to sell more tomatoes. Why must I just hire people if I'm not selling more?
Okay, the whole problem with hire more people is that, when I just act on your idea of, hire more people.
Will you help me with a bankruptcy?
When I fail to pay them, I'm gonna end up at the Labor Commission.
Yeah, will you come and defend me?
Exactly. So, hire more people. It's, again, this is where politics and economics clash because in politics, it's very easy to say hire more people so that, well, I can make a bunch of people happy and then next election cycle they can vote for me or, at least give me credit for the reasons why they have employment.
Mm.
Except in economics, everyone that runs a business knows that, you don't your biggest enemy is operational cost. You don't want to, unless you are a multinational company that's, sitting somewhere in Silicon Valley with a bunch of guys in Congress that can bail you out in the event of any, economic crisis, like the 2008 one, which they caused, by the way, you don't want to have, you want to make sure that cost is well controlled, like conservatively.
Yeah.
Let's go with religiously, because what you want is to have, you don't want to designate or more like to give out roles that you can do yourself.
Mm.
Like, which is why we have a lot of home shops today. Because if you told everyone that's operating in a home shop to get a, to get a space in a shopping mall, Groove Mall, Maroa Mall, or Van Hill, how many of them will be operating?
None.
Because
then the rent would kill them.
Forget the rent. The products they are fitting in that home shop can fit in a corner of the escalator. Forget forget the retail space you want to give them.
Yeah. I mean, Helmut, the particular discussion highlights also a weird thing because that Chinese company, Transion, just makes products for the African market. A UAE guy sitting in UAE. Invests in a factory in Rwanda to make phones from Rwanda. But the thing is, the company is not owned by a Rwandan.
Yep.
And that's why I titled the particular script in preparation for today, the problem of being sold to. We are too used to being sold to. But the thing is, Helmut, why are you paying 300,000, 500,000 for a Japanese car? So, you don't have brain cells to make your own car? So why are we training engineers?
To get jobs.
Yeah, but an engineer has to make something as well.
Well, to get jobs.
Or is it just so the engineer can just certify the plans and
thank
say,
you. See, yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah, it's loose. Nah, yeah, it can continue.
Now, let me take you through, okay, now this is, let me just make sure I don't lose my, okay. Now, let me take you through some of the, depressing information I found on, you know, that's coming from, Economic Development in Africa Report 2019. Make I point that out again. One of the, this is an initiative that is, behind, you know, what's this, made in Africa by Africans type of initiative. You know, it's time that we start taking, we start taking pride. There's one, I think one Nigerian, I'm not sure if he's African American or it's just American gentleman that asked, he set a group of young people and asked them that, I want each and every single one of you to tell me what you are proud of about your continent or about your country. A Japanese, if you ask them that question, they will tell you, well, Toyota, Sony, Mazda, where do I start? Those are the things that I'm proud of.
Some of them will even just jump to PlayStation and Nintendo and all those other things.
There you go.
Yeah.
And now, and then when you ask a British person what they are proud of about their continent, you know, a positive thing, not the whole colonialism thing. They can easily say, well, every country, thanks to us, every country has Independence Day. But, the thing is, there are a lot of things that, the Europeans can tell you why they are proud about their trade, tradition, their continent, especially just stick to manufacturing.
Mm.
And the Americans can tell you the exact same thing. But when we, talk about, the African continent, when it is, okay, it's very easy for us to say, okay, well, we also have electricity, we have cars, but these electricity suppliers, where are you getting the turbines from? Now, that's where, and then I think that's one of those things that drove us into making a rash decision, that's driving us making it, to make rash decisions like the one we made with Peugeot. Now, a lot of people that understands, understands the, logistics and the rules of demand and supply, basically those of you that speak the commercial language that's spoken in the commercial world, and you know something called the rules of origin. Yep. You can't just, buy parts, or more like, bring parts in from France, and then put them together, and then label it made in Namibia. Because, well, the World Trade Organization will be like, hang on a second, we need to talk. Now, made in Africa, a rules of origin for enhanced intra-African trade. That's, that's coming out of the made in Africa rules of origin. What's that? Economic development in Africa, in Africa, a report 2019. The article goes on to say that, or the report goes on to say that, it's a 200-page document, goes on to say that, on 21 March 2018 in Kigali, 44 member states of African Union signed the agreement establishing the African Continental Free Trade Area. This was a major historical landmark for Africa. And it can arguably be a game changer for the continent's economy. In signing the agreement, African countries honored the spirit of the treaty establishing African Economic Community signed in 1991 in Abuja. Yeah, I also had that look. If you have a shocked look in Abuja, that's Nigeria.
Yeah.
And delivered on a 2012 African Union summit decision to fast track the establishment of the continent's free trade area by an indicative date of 2017. Hang on a second. We have been talking about trading with each other since, before Moses parted the Red Sea. And you want to guess? Okay, guess what? We're still talking. We will get to the innovation later, but I don't know when, but, as of now, we're still talking.
But here's the thing, Helmut. Remember, with Transion, I would not be surprised if if its major shareholders or owners are other companies. Because it's something that the Japanese do, it's something that the Chinese do. you have these multinational large corporations in your economy.
Yeah.
They buy shares in each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only problem in a Namibian context is we've got in Namibia, our largest companies are mostly SOEs and banks.
Oh.
Or they're like one company that's a monopoly in its own sector.
Well, Transion was also founded in 2006.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
in 2006. Well.
But continue, Helmut.
They are selling us devices, but we have been talking since 1991.
Yeah, they've brought three brands,
different brands
to us.
Yeah, they've sold.
They are selling three brands in Africa. The downside here is one based upon first and foremost market research. Transion realized they can't compete with Huawei, with ZTE,
the American or European market,
and with Xiaomi. Before that, we've got an ad break.
So when to beer asked Namibia to be real, and we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names, and 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arnold. It doesn't get more real than that. As Windhoek, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now, where were you?
So, the downside of what Transion has done is Transion has done market research. That was literally what the video shows.
Yeah.
The other thing that maybe the Mara guy did was that he also knew about the market research. He knew about the market research. He knew he could source some of the local materials from Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
The discussion that you can probably see from his scenario was he was trying to come in at a low end of the product spectrum, meaning what is offered in this market, and he's trying to come in here low. Now, you can only come in low, Helmut,
mm-hmm.
in marketing, in market penetration strategy. You can only come in low if you have a cash cow product. Everyone is buying it up here.
Mm.
Everyone is buying that product here.
There's another source of revenue.
Yeah, there's a, yeah, in the same sector. There's another product that you've got there that's busy selling out. It's making money here. You can't come in with a cheap thing at the bottom end, in the entry level scope of things into the market, when there is someone that doesn't have the money, but they still want the iPhone 20. They still want that top of the line thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the money, but they want that thing.
Yeah.
Then they don't want you. What are you going to do? And you don't have a marketing strategy. You just invested all your resources on a manufacturing strategy.
Yep.
Which is source locally, appoint people, make a thing, but I don't know how to sell it.
Look, but isn't this the painful part of it? Because if you look at it, the whole initiative is a very good one. Because if you are sourcing locally, and if you have, most of the parts are being produced, obviously, that's what, that's what Indonesia asked Apple to do. Not all the iPhone 16 parts must come from Indonesia, but a certain percentage of it must come from here. In other words, it must be produced here so that it can have, so we can have some types of, you know, some type of manufacturing or a plant or, or processing plant of some raw material that are feeding into that product just here locally.
Yeah.
So that was a very genius move.
It
except now they ended up with their own. Now we end up with a situation where you have, where you have this multi-million, if not multi-billion dollar piece of infrastructure. And business is not going so well. And sooner or later, you are forced to, you are forced to close shop. Mm. So that, that if it's pursued, because I don't think they have closed shop. I think they're still in operation.
Just probably hiding operation.
Yeah, hiding operation, even though I've never seen any of their product, but that was a very brilliant idea.
But here's the thing, Hamoud. Let me ask you this. Did you own a Huawei before?
Yeah.
Did Huawei come in on a cheap price range?
Oh, no.
No, it did not. It came in a mid-range.
Mid-range, yeah.
Yeah. But it was what was on the thing? What was on the phone?
Oh.
You had an Android platform.
Yep, you had
but it was
2 gig RAM and above. Have you seen the screen and the camera and that thing?
Plus, some of the things was that it, at least you see that there was Android on it.
Mm-hmm.
With Android Oreo, it was a bit difficult because people didn't even know what Android Oreo was. They didn't even want to hear about Android Oreo. I had a Nokia that had Android Oreo, and it was a problem. It was a problem. You can't install, let's say, nice apps on it, like, for example, Spotify stuff.
Yeah.
Because then instantaneously it will tell you, but your phone is not compatible with the latest version of this thing.
Oh, man, the way I hate that, especially when I'm downloading games.
Exactly. So the problem had been there that people, consumers, they want top of the line or decent technology or products.
We can't afford.
Yeah, some of them can't afford. Don't say we. You.
Yeah, some of us can't afford. Okay.
Okay. I won't throw you in any boats.
Thank you.
Not today. Not today. You know, I'm still fighting off flu and it's all its glory. So when you look at that strategy,
yeah,
that thing that I mentioned a little bit earlier with the conundrum of what all entrepreneurs face in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
there's too few people with money in this country.
Which is why we don't have, that's the reason why I don't see dealerships of most of the high-end sports cars like.
Not easily. Amud, this is an unsustainable picture because let's say by the next census and by then I'll be 50, you'll probably be, 40?
Yeah.
And they count us again, and we went up by another 900,000 people. Mm-hmm. We'll be 4 million, and we're still at 500,000 people that have salaries. We will be facing an issue. We're already facing that issue.
Yeah.
Because economic activity cannot take place unless the government sparks up the, not the NDF, Ministry of Defense invests in industrial activities, but they source it from the economy. We would really need that. And unfortunately, we would have to change the constitution for that. Meaning, a gun manufacturing company. A tank manufacturing company. Stop buying things from other countries. Manufacture your own stuff. Even just a bullet manufacturing company, Hamu. Do you know how basic that is? A bullet manufacturing company.
How many patents do you have to go through first?
You can make your own bullets, bruh. Whose patents do you have to go? You can make your own bullets.
How? Really?
Yeah. Helmut, the concern in the world has been, obviously, mm-hmm. there's everyone has an army in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has an army in the world.
Everyone is scared of everyone.
Yeah. But the downside is, countries like us, the Africans, we don't realize, well, that army needs to be self-sufficient because in the basics of even the art of war, Sun Tzu highlights, look after supply. Because the longer the fight goes on, the more stress and burden your supply chains have to suffer.
Yeah.
But the quicker the fight, the smaller the burden it is on your supply. So, The thing is, I'm not calling for Namibia to go start any wars.
Thank heavens.
We are peaceful enough.
Yeah.
However, we do need some technological innovation, Helmut. And the theory has been proven. Much in human history, much of the technological advancements have come through from the armies.
Internet, microwave.
The internet, the microwave.
Yep.
Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi. Power steering.
Wait, what?
How do you think you're gonna turn a 20-ton tank?
Oh yeah, that's a good question.
And you're the only guy there. You're the only driver.
Yeah, in the heat of fire.
And you know, that's the funny thing about a tank driver. They're usually the first guy to die.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Them, the gun loader, the guy that fires the gun. I'm not talking about a machine gun.
Uh-huh.
The tank, that massive main gun, uh-huh. The main armament.
Yeah.
That fires the gun, the gunner. Oh, the gun loader, the gunner. And you will always have a tank commander. The guy that always dies first is the tank driver. Most important guy, him and the gunner. They're the most important guys. Because the tank commander is there to look at strategy and obviously to, you know, highlight targets and stuff like that and movement. And the loader is there to assist the gunner to load the gun. So that the job doesn't fall on the gunner to load the gun and also fire the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the particular strategy, but we'll quickly take a short break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Oulium nangeshefa, noahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station oyo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe nohamano. That is 0817147116. Mombelewa konorahita tu natu, bali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM,
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. We have 18 minutes before we call it a day. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today we are the African continent and our questionable, you know, levels of innovation, despite the size of the available market that's being exploited by, I don't want to use the word outsiders, but because it's a lot of, negative political connotation. But we have a market And some, you know, we have a market on the African continent that we are looking at and going that we don't have the buying capacity.
Mm.
But it turns out if you think outside the box, the market is still, you know, the market is a very good one.
Yeah.
Like we have been going through a Transient, a company behind the smartphones like Infinix and Tecno. That, you know, of models that are made for the African continent to, and they only sold for the most part to the African continent, that, some Chinese have no clue that these phone models even exist.
Yep.
So, while we want to compete with the big household names like, household names like Samsung and Apple, others are, you know, figuring out a way to, I think the way that things works is you look at your market and find out if they can afford the product that you are making.
Mm.
Well, Transient looked at the market and figured out the product, the product they can afford, then made that product, tailoring it to the income of that market.
Yep.
Man, that's genius.
No, it is. But you sit with all the intellectual property. You sit with the rights of distribution.
Yeah.
You sit with the manufacturing capability. And you sit with everything that makes the product it.
We still have our fingers crossed.
Kids, no running. They grow up so fast.
Come here, guys. Who wants to watch the favorite show on GoTV?
Your family's favorite moments are made better with GoTV's shows. We've got loads of local, international, and kids' channels, and all the football you need from the comfort of your home.
You can also watch your favorite shows wherever you are with GoTV Stream. Stick with GoTV, and let's go together. GoTV. Love it.
Welcome back. But before we continue, let's take a live read.
Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. September Intake 2025, where all programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4, 1 year full-time on all campuses. You can find the NSSC Ordinary or Advanced Subsidiary or Equivalent level with a minimum of 20 points in 6 subjects with a minimum of F symbol in English. A mature age entry. Applicants must be 23 years or older with a minimum of 2 years relevant work experience in health sciences or related fields and must have obtained at least 10 points in the NSSC ordinary or higher level levels. Certificate for the enrolled nurse wife or nurse midwife or akushio level 6. This is a 2-year program full-time at the Windhoek campus, in Gurunguru campus, Combat campus, Walvis Bay campus, Katimabulilo campus, and Otapi campus. What is required? An NSSC ordinary or advanced subsidiary level or equivalent with a minimum of 27 points in 6 subjects with a minimum D symbol in English or an NSSC O or /H level or equivalent with a minimum of 22 points in 6 subjects with a minimum E symbol in English. Applicants should have passed any two of the following subjects: biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, and development studies. Application period is from 1 May 2025 to 30 June 2025.
Welcome back, and don't forget to apply.
Yeah, so highlighted, Helmut. For the short term, or for the foreseeable future,
yeah,
because the foreseeable future says Africa has this potential. Africa continuously has this potential with its growing demographics. It has the potential.
Well, population decline is something that's being observed in a lot of places, and it's happening a lot of places across the globe, and it's taking place at a very alarming rate, except in Africa.
No, by 2100, the global population rate would have plateaued.
Yep.
And then it declines. It would plateau.
Yeah, you know, in the whole global, especially the number of young people on the, on a continent, in a lot of different blocks on this, on this planet, the only continent that's showing some, promising,
yeah,
in terms of, in terms of young people, is the African continent.
Yeah,
a lot of countries, especially Japan, and a lot of Western countries, they are seeing already a decline in population. That's scaring them.
Yep.
Yeah, when it comes to the future of their, you know, to the future of the available work, you know, workforce, because you need a workforce to drive an economy. If you don't have young people, that puts a strain on the small working group that you're going to have to take care of a large group of retirees.
Yep.
That means your taxes, we're going to have to go up. That means you are not even helping, because you will be overworking your already strained working group. That's now that's a developed country's problem. Ours is that of innovation.
But it's not just about innovation, Amo. It's about development. You see,
our R&D investment is not a good one at this point.
But it's not just about the R&D investment even. Because, Hamoud, it doesn't cost you anything to break open a phone.
Yeah.
If you're an engineer, to break open a phone and look at what is in this phone.
Yeah.
What makes it tick? What makes it function? You don't, for far too long now, we were told, look at the shiny bits. That was now the applications and WhatsApp and Facebook and Facebook Mess. No, stop looking at the shiny bits. Look at how does this thing work?
Look, I think when it comes to looking at how things work, we have, I'm going to use an example that's somewhat unorthodox. We have the skills.
Yeah.
We just haven't figured out a way to harness them. Because there are two ways things work in the world of thieves. Don't ask. That's the same thing that you see happening in the car industry, cars that are stolen. And you see the same thing that's happening, especially in the smartphone, smartphones that are stolen, especially, when it comes to Facebook marketplace smartphones.
Yeah.
When a phone is stolen, chances are very high it's sold. If it's an Android, chances are very high it's sold because they're easy to flash. But if it's Apple, chances are very high it's scraped for parts. Think about, the technology that exists somewhere deep in Havana, that's scraping phones and then putting them together in a way that they look new for you to see them on marketplace and admire them.
Yeah.
So when you look at that, you see that, education wise, skills wise, the skills, the rudimentary level, it's there. But we just haven't figured out a way to exploit it in a way that we can apply it on a large scale for it to contribute to the economy. The same problem we have in the creative sector.
Exactly. Now in the creative sector, obviously, Helmut, the thing that existed there was that no one takes the creatives serious.
Yeah, no.
No one takes it. That's why it's so easy for a DC Comics or a Marvel Comics to sell here in Namibia. But for much of my life, because as a young kid, all of us, we had this like artistic thing that we also wanted to draw things and color in and, deal with that. But you obviously needed further training to pursue this particular dream that converts into a skill set, because we technically don't have such particular arts. We do have art, but we don't have art, because if you go down to any gallery right now, you go and frown at the thing that you would consider art in front of you. I love sculptors.
Yeah.
People that sculpt from stone.
Yeah.
That make statues and stuff. I love that. If you're going to do art painting something.
Yeah.
I mean, even your duck, you can let your duck loose on a canvas, Hamoud, that, and then you can sell that thing for $5,000.
Was that last year when an apple, a banana sold for, I swear, people have money.
There was even a story of a woman that accidentally placed she forgot, but it was something like a can, a used can or something, or it was a piece of fruit peel, and she accidentally left it there, not realizing it was a display. Then everyone came and said, oh, look at the kind of messaging from this.
Abstract.
From this app. And so the woman was, oh my goodness, I made a mistake. It's rubbish that I left there accidentally.
And someone is going, what do you think this is telling us? Well, it's a banana peel. It's not telling us anything. Well, it turns out when you have money, you see.
No, when you have time, not money. The money is there.
Mm. When you see creativity everywhere.
Yeah. So when it comes to like our creative scene, Helmut, mm-hmm. I'm not asking people to let their babies paint finger art or finger paint art and then come and try to sell it for $1 million. Please don't do that. A lot of people tried doing that with the NFT side of things, and when you tried looking up what NFT means, it took you down a rabbit hole just to get to the explainer of NFT. And as I keep saying, an NFT is just digital arts collection. So ignore NFTs, please. Uh-huh. When you look at the thing of art, and I'm talking about the painters, from the Asian painters to the rock art that people found in South America, to the rock art found in even here in ancient Egypt, mm-hmm. to even the rock art here in Namibia, we are not expanding on these particular things, on these particular sectors, but they're so easy to do. But the thing is just, there is no market, because you have to make or create your market. You can't expect the government to even be the market for you as well.
You know, Nigerian painter that went viral. I only saw some of his work on social media.
Like, as the guy that
paints with fire.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. But did you see how realistic those?
Exactly.
No, but do you see his manufacturing process? It's innovative.
The innovation behind it is insane.
No, but there's another Nigerian guy. But this guy moved to London, I think. The guy that he draws almost like real life things. It almost looks 3D. Uh-huh. Have you seen that guy?
Almost 3D. No.
It almost looks lifelike.
Draws it with what?
Uses like, a pencil and some particular coloring paint.
Last year when I attended the Creative Summit, I saw, you know, one lady that's a painter, and plus she's hot, yo, and that was uncalled for. But anyway,
that was Helmut, guys. That was Helmut.
Come on, that's just, you know, can a guy be straight these days? I'm not helping, am I?
No, you're not.
I thought I was helping.
Yeah.
She just paints.
Yeah.
And she's really good. I took some of the pictures, and the creativity behind, you can see the creativity that she is so good at. She just draws using, you know, mixing all these colors and stuff. But I'm still fascinated by the Nigerian guy that went viral because he paints a person crying. You can see the tears falling from the side of their cheeks. Mm. And those tears are everything, and everything is painted with fire.
Yeah, but
very vivid colors.
Yeah, but you do realize what it does. It burns. It's literally, his painting is actually burnt marks.
Yeah, it is.
Fire marks or fire stains. But it's innovative.
Very easy way to start a fire. It's creativity.
But it's creative and it's lovely, because I've seen that art.
Yeah, because look, everyone paints. He just figured out that, you know what, I don't want to be a painter painting like everyone else.
Mm.
I want to paint using it more, something that, you know, something that's never been used before.
Mm.
If you look at sculptures that are coming out of the Renaissance, I don't think we have reached a level. Okay, we are able to catch up with that level of creativity.
Mm.
Someone, Dwight, used a chisel on a marble and carved a woman in a veil where you can see her face through a veil that's carved out of marble.
Mm.
The level of accuracy it takes. The level of creativity and dedication. And if you find out how much those things are selling today, they are in millions. But, you know, the banana duct tape to a wall that sold for 6.2 million. I still maintain that's money laundering.
Yeah, someone was taken for a ride.
Or it was
someone's rich kid that someone felt pity for someone's rich kid to give the rich kid some money to start off something and tell her, please be serious with your life.
A banana duct tape to a wall. 6.2 million.
Yes, here's your 6.2 million. Please go and get serious.
At this point, I'm an abstract artist. Have you seen my room?
But if you're on the level, Helmut, for example, like the rock art discussion that I stumbled upon on World Earth Day celebrations 2 weeks back, and I was like, a lot of the rock art in the Erongo Mountains, the good ones, they are accessed by tourists from the rest of the world, and the National Heritage Council knows about this. But it sits on the properties
of private farm owners.
This is our national heritage. This is Namibia's heritage.
A national heritage is sitting on private property. What's going on? Am I missing something?
Are we missing something? I'll just let it hang there. Are we missing something, really?
Yeah. Good question.
Because if you now go to...
If you want to access it, you'll have to go through the private owner.
Yeah. You have to pay a fee at the gate, be led on a tour, and then there you go.
Okay. We're going to take a commercial break, but we're still...
Did you want to say a shoe break?
A short break.
Well, a shoe break would have also been nice.
A shoe break?
You know, when you say shoe.
Let's hope we are not taking a shoe break.
So when to beer asked Namibia to be real. And we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names. And 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arnold. It doesn't get more real than that. As Vintuk, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Welcome back. It's a minute past the hour of 6, so that brings us to the end of our show for today. But it's just something worth, dropping before, we sign out is, are we missing something? Is it a marketing problem? Is it an innovation problem? Or is it just that we are addicted to, a comfortability problem where we are very comfortable buying that we don't want to think outside the box that, we can actually make some of the stuffs that we are being supplied with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On my side, it's, in Namibia's side, it's actually a whole bunch of factors.
Yeah.
Helmut, we really, like our Bible says it, Namibia needs a lot of economic transformation.
Yeah.
So, this is not just about food security production stuff. This is everything. This is to the levels of even nails, not even toothpicks, nails that we've got to make, underwear that we've got to make. And it's from underwear to nappies even. Did you know that I found out? Oh, let me ask you this. Did you know that sanitary pads, the product for women,
mm-hmm.
is made in China?
So we can't make that.
So South Africa imports that thing. And then exports it to us.
So not even South Africa makes it?
And there are South African companies that can make it. They do make it.
Okay, if they do make it, then why are their products...
The ones on the shelves.
Exactly.
It's obviously just a question about where do you supply first? Do you look at exporting as well, or do you look at first serving your market? Because remember, I'm not buying from a South African shop in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I'm here in Namibia. So we are a market extension of all those products.
Yeah.
So I read on that packet of Lillets and I was like, made in China. Made in China.
Yep.
Do you know that for all these coffee drinkers in Namibia, which includes me, a lot of the coffee, the Jacobs Kroening, the Douwe Egberts and all those other brands, repackaged in South Africa, but manufactured in Germany. That was where you most highlighted. Germany is most the world's largest coffee manufacturer.
Where is it farmed?
Yeah, where else? Our bras that have never tasted coffee before or chocolate in their lives.
So
our Ghanaian and Cote d'Ivoire.
So it's the Ivory Coast, Ghana and Switzerland chocolate discussion all over again.
Exactly. That's why the Mara Group guys came to Rwanda. Because the materials were there, the skills were there.
Yeah.
But if you now look at Namibia, the skills are not there. The other value chain things are not there.
Material, the raw material is there.
Yeah. But then you need to invest in the guys in between that have to make and refine the stuff for you. And now those guys will argue, who's my market going to be?
Yep.
Now, if you don't answer who's the next step going to be, then you're wasting your time. Namibia will perpetually import everything. We will perpetually be known as an exporter of raw materials. We will even be exporting ammonia and green hydrogen, which will be raw materials.
Yep. And then to convert into finished products.
Somewhere else.
180 degrees back.
Yep.
To the net consumer. 5 minutes past the hour of six, so you all have a good evening. That's something very fancy to say after pointing out all this after we've turned the entire African continent into a punching bag. But it's just worth pointing out. It's something that is also worth discussing. Now the transient example, or more like a way of doing things, would be a very good way to look at how to expand economically as a continent, especially as we have this goal of Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement in mind. But with that, for me, until tomorrow, same time, same place here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. You all have a blessed evening.
And enjoy the rest of your programming in our company, dear listeners. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.